Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'm just having a quick good look of the faces. thanks, BTS, for inviting me to be here. I was just recounting as I was preparing this sharing that actually it feels surreal that it was more than 10 years ago that I was here as a student. Suddenly, I feel a little bit old. but it's very encouraging to see all of you brothers and sisters, and knowing some of you, you come from different nations, just remembering about the heart of God and the mission that He has placed in BTS to be a training place for, not just for Singaporeans, but brothers and sisters from different nations, sons and daughters of God, to just come together and grow together for His purpose and also for your good. So it's really encouraging to be here. Just now, as I was over the other side, I met Dr. Fong and RJ on Sunday because they came to Shalom Baptist Chapel to speak on a BTS Sunday. And so Dr. Fong highlighted to me that there's breakfast. So I came, wow, so nice. Yes. We didn't used to have it. I came during the time when we just moved in. So much has changed. The Lord has been very faithful. And I felt that the word that the Lord has put in my heart for BTS this morning is that He has been faithful. He has been faithful. Yeah, so really glad to be here. Always good to be back in this family. I want to begin this morning with one question. As I go along, you realize that I will give you many questions today. the things that I want to share really comes from my own personal journey. And the first question, which I felt was a question that the Lord has put in my heart in July, based on the season that I'm in currently. And this question popped up as I was processing the journey the Lord has brought me through since last year. Some of you who know me personally, you know that my dad found out that he had cancer last year, June. And we were journeying through together as a family for 7 months. And then we had to bid our farewell to him until we meet him again this year, January. But yet by the grace of God, what we felt was there was more rejoicing. There was more comfort because in December last year, he came into faith. And to us, that's a miracle. That's really a miracle because he was totally close with the idea of embracing Christ himself. And then, yes, the journey through grief is real at the same time. Then it got tougher this year, June, because my sister, we as a family, we found out that my sister's son, my nephew Joash, he found out that he has cancer. And so since then, he is battling with cancer, going for chemos and all that. And I want to thank all of you because I understand Irene, who is the alumni representative. She's always so on the ball, making sure that the alumni students are being prayed for and covered. And so I thank all of you for praying and remembering Joash in your prayers last week, I think. By the grace of God, thank God there was no spread. And I'll share more later on. Yeah, but coming back to the first question, which I haven't shared, is this question. Would you still worship me and trust in me when you may lose something? This was a question that I felt the Lord was posing to me as I was really just taking time in worship and prayer. And as I think about something to share with us today, I just felt that this is a question that is also too relevant for anyone who is here this morning. I find that when God asks us questions, when He gives an invitation for a response, He's not giving a rhetorical question, by the way. These kind of moments can change the trajectory of our lives. It can significantly shape and transform something in us in a significant way. I may not know you, but I imagine each one of you who are here, every one of you who have said yes to the Lord and the number of no you have given to others, even yourself, you are here. And most likely, you have given up something to be here. And you know what? No surprise, there will be more to come in your life. You may not like it. When those moments come, you may not like it. But yes, there will be more to come until Christ returns. And so when this question came into my heart, immediately the story of Abraham sacrificing, called to sacrifice his son Isaac, came to my heart. And so everyone would agree that in this story, Genesis 22, he, Abraham, showed to be a man who gave a yes in a very remarkable way. No matter how well we know this story, as we read it, as we process it, we would still think, wow, how did he do it? How on earth Abraham was able to do it? And at the same time, we know very well that this is a test for Abraham. Any tests, any challenges in life that comes our way, we know that they are a way to refine us. James chapter 1 tells us that, right? Yet tests and challenges in life are also meant to reveal. They are meant to reveal. Am I right to say that in the next week, you'll be having your term break?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great, great, great. Are you looking for it? Are you looking forward? So after term break, is there going to be exams going on?
Exams now.
Exams now? Oh, okay, okay. So you can relate with it. Tests, you can relate this very well. Academic examinations or essay papers, they are given to review something of where you are at as a student. How many of you say that the paper set for you so far is easy? I heard yes. I heard yes. Even if it's easy, you also would not want to share. In case your professors decided to say, maybe I'll change my mind. Let's work on it. But I believe most examinations, most papers are set to make every student feel there's a challenge, right? It should stretch you. It should help the professors. It should help you to start to wonder and think, where am I? Where am I at? It should be set in that way. If it's very easy, everyone can score, high score, and then it's very hard for the faculty and yourself to know where you truly stand, how much you truly understand about what you're studying. So in the same way, life challenges, tests in life, they seek to expose and reveal what is in our hearts. And so most of the time, tests in life, challenges in life, you will feel it's challenging. You will feel stretched. You will feel, wow, God, this is really very hard. It should. It should. Now, I find tests of life, challenges in life, often reveal a few things. Let me share two that I felt. One was that tests and challenges in life, they reveal often where our true affection, where our passion lies at. Meaning this has to do with the things and the people that you treasure the most. Second, tests and challenges in life, they also reveal the true condition of our faith in God. Having been a Christian, a disciple, a pastor, having been a seminary student before, I realized you and I, we can know a lot about God. We can know a lot about God. But it is the tests and the challenges in life that will tell us, that will reveal what we truly believe who God is in our lives and what we think of Him. If there are moments in your life when you go through challenges, you say, I know God is like that, but I feel God, you are like that. There is this dissonance going on, the tension within yourself. That is when you get to really understand what you think of who God is. So test reveals many things. There are many things we can see what this test reveals about Abraham's faith. And I'm just going to be here to share familiar truths that all of you know. As I'm here sharing something with all of you this morning, it's really me just giving an invitation for every one of us as sons and daughters of God, to take some time to examine our hearts, to do time of reflection. And I felt that's a timely way. Next week is your term break. And I hope that you can carry some of these questions with you. If you feel this is really what the Holy Spirit wants you to process with Him, I want to encourage you. This is the most important examination than all other academic examinations that you will have. All right? Maybe I can pray for us? Yeah, before I continue. Father, I thank you for every heart of sons and daughters who are here. The heart that you have been working in, shaping in, and refining. The heart that you have been loving as well. I thank you for this space, this community, where these are people who live a life of reverence for you. And at the same time, I pray that whatever that will be shared today, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be the counselor to just continue to search our hearts and search our minds. And so that, Lord, that we will move closer to you. I ask this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, the first thing that I find Abraham's faith revealed is that he has a fear of God, a radical obedience to God, and a trust in Him. Abraham's fear of God is clear because in the context, the angel of the Lord made it clear. He told him, "Stop. Now I know. Now I know you fear God." His fear of God makes sense as well because it is shown through Abraham's radical obedience. There was no delay. Abraham did not say to God, "Wait, huh?" In Singaporean terms, "Wait, huh? I need to talk to my wife. Wait, huh? Are you sure?" There was no delay. And such radical obedience is only possible because of Abraham's trust in the Lord. And what is this trust based on? And I felt that there are two very obvious realities I believe Abraham sees in God. Two realities. The first reality is that he sees God as a powerful God who has the power to raise his son Isaac from the dead. The author of Hebrews tells us that. The second reality that I believe Abraham sees in God is that he sees God as a promise keeper. For 20 over years, for only even more, he has seen that God really holds his promise. He keeps his promise, even when things don't make sense. Even when it seems that God, are you keeping what you have said for all these years? He have learned to see God is powerful and God is the promise keeper. Now, I do not know what you are all going through aside from stresses in the school. But let me pose this question and you can consider to keep this as a reflecting question. The first one, is your faith revealing your fear of God? Does it reveal a radical obedience to God and a trust in Him? Do you fear God or do you fear something? What does the test in your life reveal to you? As you go through the tests and challenges in life, does it reveal a radical obedience to the Lord, or do you have a tendency to delay, to wrestle before you say yes? And how does your trust in God look like? What is it based on? What is the view and the reality that you truly see in God that will say and be the foundation of your trust? This is something to think about. The second thing that I see in Abraham's faith through this test was that his faith led him to a wholehearted worship, a wholehearted yes. God called Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac, as a burnt offering. Now, how many of you love the book of Leviticus? Oh, RJ! Very nice. Now you can ask him all the questions about the offerings. Seminary students are always put in a fix. It's like, you are supposed to love every book of the Bible. But we can be honest. We can be honest. We should know that there are different kinds of offerings that God has ordained and listed. And burnt offering is just one type of it, right? For all of us understanding, just to be on the same page. Now, this offering is supposed to put an entire animal, be consumed fully and entirely by the fire upon the altar. Nothing must be left but ashes. Singaporean term, what would you call it? Chao ta. Yeah, Singaporean will call it chao ta. We're not meant to eat it. And this burnt offering, it is meant to symbolize the worshipper's posture to the Lord. It is supposed to symbolize the worshipper's heart, which is a wholehearted, a complete devotion and total surrender. And it is implying the one who is offering, the worshipper is saying this, this costly thing that I possess, this value thing that I have, it belongs to you, God. It belongs to you. And when God called Abraham to offer his son as a burnt offering, it was to see whether Abraham would give to the Lord what he treasures the most. Whether he would see that what I own, ultimately, God, it belongs to you. And Abraham showed that he was ready. It shows his wholehearted devotion, his total surrender to God, does not get diminished just because of his love for his son. It's something to think about. And I want to ask us this second reflective question, is that what is your worship, what does your wholehearted worship to God look like? Especially in times when you are going through hard times. It's easy to say, I give many things to the Lord when times are good. But when times are hard, you realize, you'll come to recognize what is truly the thing and the person that you treasure the most. And there comes the moment the Lord will ask you, what would you do in this moment? What is your wholehearted worship to me looking like in this season, in this test, in this challenging time? Would you withhold yourself? Would you struggle through that? Now, allow me to give a cautioning note, because while we are called to be a burnt offering, Paul says living sacrifice, and maybe in our context, we don't like burnt offering because then it gives us a connotation, which I want to say this, while we are called to be a burnt offering, a life wholehearted and devoted to the Lord, God never wants us to be burnt out. Okay? God never wants us to be burnt out. There is this one, that I thought, whole thing burn already. What does it mean? And I felt that that is the tension that most of us ministers, for many of you here, brothers and sisters, people, I believe you are here because you gave a wholehearted yes to the Lord. I believe you are someone who will always do your best to give a yes to many good things that seems godly. But we also realize that in the times that we're living in, we've been hearing a lot more people who keep on saying yes. Wonderful people who keep on saying yes, and then they end up being burned out. And we need to really ask ourselves, is the yes that I give really the yes that God requires me to give? There is a need for us to examine our yes. There's a need for us to ask the Holy Spirit, who is the counselor, to teach us and show us, is this truly the yes that God, that you want me to give? Can you imagine Abraham saying to God, God, you want to sacrifice my son? I have two sons, actually. I can also sacrifice the other one. Just in case. I mean, Abraham doesn't know this is a test, right? In Singaporean terms, there's a Hokkien word, gei kiang. Those of you who know, zizuochongming, that's a Chinese word. English, how should I?
Trying to be clever.
Sometimes we can be like that, right? God says one thing, but we heard, oh, okay, maybe I need to do all these other things as well. If Abraham does that, then it will not be obedience, it's called performance. And I want to say this to the context of many of us, even you come from different nations, you might have a, if you rub shoulders with Singaporeans long enough, I hope for the good way, but if it's a negative way, you'll feel that, why are y'all doing so many things? We have things to learn from our brothers and sisters from other nations as Singaporean Christians. Prophet Samuel says this, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. This is a familiar phrase for me, but lately I've come to understand it better in a personal way. And I would say this, not every sacrifice that we give is an obedience. Any sacrifice that is done without truly hearing what God wants can never be a wholehearted worship to the Lord. And that is why many people have gone through burnout. I want to say this, as many of you are here students of the Word, and you want to grow, not just as students, but you want to grow as disciples. You want to give your life to serve. But I want to encourage you that take time to always ask, God, is this really what you want me to do? That you will meet many people with good intention, brothers and sisters with good intention, saying, oh, go for it. This seems good. You need to ask the Lord. Because this is the third point I want to share, which I felt that this is the reason why Abraham had a certain kind of faith. Abraham is aware of what his obedience is called of God. Abraham is able to trust in the Lord because ultimately his faith is empowered by his friendship with God. Abraham knows God personally and intimately. This is a precious thing. Over the many years, I've come to really, really realize that there is something about friendship with the Lord. God called Abraham as his friend. Not Abraham calls God his friend. It is God who calls Abraham his friend. Something to think about. Abraham would have seen how God has come through for him, including the times when he does things that God didn't tell him to do. If you know Abraham's story, yeah? And God still remains faithful. And so I can imagine God, in a sense, Abraham would know God and his nature. He knows what is on God's heart. He knows God's character to the point that he can even have a dialogue conversation to negotiate in prayer for his nephew Lot. And the reason why I realized Abraham is able to give his wholehearted worship to the Lord is because Abraham ultimately recognizes God's ever faithful yes to what he says he would do and to Abraham as well. The moment when God chose and called Abraham to leave his home, he tells Abraham, in a way, he's saying, yes, I have picked you. I've chosen you among many other people. I have chosen you. That is a yes. The yes for the Lord to keep his promises that he gave to Abraham, a promised son, and the promise that he will be the father of many nations and more. And this is the beautiful privilege that every one of us also would get to have. We are called to be friends with God. Jesus said that. Jesus offered that. I don't think Jesus said that just for his first 12 disciples. I believe Jesus calls every one of us. You are my friends. Friends who will know Jesus intimately and know what is on his heart.
friends who will live their lives as friends of the bridegroom, who will always rejoice in hearing the bridegroom's voice, who will be proclaiming the kingdom of God with zeal, and not just proclaiming, but seek to partner with the king on what does establishing the kingdom of God looks like here on earth. Friends who will be ready for his return. Friends who will be watchful. Friends who are willing to give wholeheartedly to King, to the King Jesus. Because in the first place, we know that our friend has first laid down his life, has first said yes to us, even when we don't do anything for him. Is Jesus your close and intimate friend? Or is he someone that you're trying to study? This is a tension that I wouldn't be surprised that everyone of you would have. I had that when there's so much download for 3 to 4 years. So I'm not the typical student. I spent 4 years. Anyone of you spending more years? There's so much download in the environment that you are in. And there will be this constant tension in your heart. Wow, God, I know so much history, your heart and the gospel theology and all that. But I know so much about you, but how does my heart feel about you? How does my heart sees you? How can we work on the tension about knowing so much and then asking, am I growing closer to you at the same time? I want to bring out this third point very strongly to every one of you here, because as you leave from this community, I would see this community like a greenhouse. You're not meant to be here forever, unless you're called to serve in this area. Unless God calls you to serve in this community, then that's a different story. But you're not meant to stay in this greenhouse forever. There is a purpose in this time that the Lord has put you in this greenhouse to tend to you, to sow seeds into your heart, to tend to your weeds that you have come into this greenhouse, weeds that you have brought along for most part of your life. And God wants to do some pruning. And he wants you to be ready for something more. But if you were to leave from this place and you're not aware that all you have known is just here, but you have not experience it here, you're going into the world that you will face a lot of challenges. Maybe now you are even also facing certain challenges. And so my prayer for you, brothers and sisters, is that you would partner with God to ask God, Jesus, I want to know you as my intimate friend. The best servants of the Lord are those who sees and knows that they're sons and daughters of the Lord, that they are friends with Jesus. So if I may offer a practical suggestion, have some people who are close to you. Your mentoring group, all of you are in a mentoring group, right? You have a mentor, you have professors that you look up to. Get them to walk with you very closely. And if I may even suggest, every year ask them, professor, doctor, or your loved ones, your wife, your family, ask them, have I become more Christ-like after going through for 1 year? Or have I become more annoying or unbearable? Not whether you have gotten better in writing your paper, scoring your test, knowing how your professor sets the paper. Those are smart things to do. But my prayer is that at the end of the day, your professors, your loved ones, you say, I've seen you becoming someone who have learned to surrender more. I've seen you, someone who have started to show courage, boldness. Not boldness to rebel against your professors, okay? Boldness in something else, you know what I mean? Because as your friendship with Jesus deepens, there will be transformation. There will be transformation. And in this transformation, Abraham's faith created a powerful ripple effect and testimony. The angel of the Lord came to Abraham and said to him, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Abraham's obedience led to every nation today to have the potential and a doorway to receive blessings. And I feel it's really beautiful that over here, it's a community that is representing different nations. You are the testimony of God's blessing to your nation that you're representing. And while Abraham's faith, his obedience, is a great lesson for all of us here today, to Abraham, you know what? Where he was at that point in Genesis 22, the main point of his experience to him, he's not saying, good job, you passed your test. It was not about, he did not highlight about his obedience. Wow, I'm the most guai. The Lord approves of me. At the end of the day, it was him, Abraham. The story ended of him saying that it is the Lord who provides. The story ended Abraham saying the Lord who will provide. That's why he called that place, the Lord will provide. And we know how Genesis 22 is a foreshadow of the Lord who provided the ultimate lamb and sacrifice through Abraham's line, and that is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, we all get to receive the mercies to be called sons and daughters, the recipients of his wonderful blessings. This ripple effect is still going. This ripple effect is still continuing. And it will continue dependent on every one of us, of whether we would give a wholehearted yes to the Lord, a wholehearted worship to the Lord in both the good times and in the hard times. God is still calling us to live a certain kind of faith that Abraham exhibits. A fear of God and obedience to him. But ultimately, the test of our lives is not just about revealing where we are at. Ultimately, it is us being able to see, God, you are the one who has caused that ripple effect. And I get to see that. I get to be a part of that. To see how his blessings is going to continue to flow. The testimonies multiply. And him being magnified. Do you know this guy? How many of you know this guy? Raise your hand. Not a lot, the young people. The young people. I feel younger now. His name is Forrest Frank. He's making an impact in the young people's lives. Through social media platforms, he's writing songs to reach to the young people. I just started following him on social media in July. At first I have a hard time embracing his music. But I decided to, since I'm working with younger people now. And it was just a time when he started doing a 30-day journal with the Lord. This was something that he felt the Lord wanting him to do, to go through a 30-day journal. And what it involves is to actively document and record what is happening in his day-to-day life, including his music writing journey. But it also includes his time with his family, everything. So he's just putting cameras everywhere and then just recording anything and everything. Unfortunately, as he started, he broke his back. He fell down while skateboarding with his son and he broke his back. At that point of time, you would think that, okay, then nothing can be done. He's just stuck on bed. Because his if I'm not wrong, his injury was quite serious that it could take months for him to heal. But no, he ended up writing a song on the bed. And it's quite interesting. The song that he first came out was, those of you know, what was that song? You don't know. God's Got My Back. very interesting. But and to him, as he shared his testimony, to him, that was a miracle already. It was him expressing his joy in the midst of his pain. I'm following him in real time since July, and I want to encourage you, just go and check him out. You will see the multiple ripple effects just because he felt the Lord was telling him to do one thing. And as he does obediently, you see the effects, the ripple effects that his yes has done. You see multiple testimonies and impacts just because he continued to obey the Lord. And this includes his miraculous healing of his back in a very short period of time. Forrest Frank's story encouraged me. And I felt it was a story that the Lord has given to me while I'm trying to grapple with my nephew's situation. His story humbles me to choose obedience and wholehearted worship in the midst of life challenges that I'm going through with my family. His story challenged me to ask myself, what does trust in God look like? What would be a yes to the Lord look like? And his story is bringing me back to this question. And I want to offer us this question once again. Will you still worship me and trust in me when you may lose something?